As a major research institution, Arizona State University offers the most online bachelor's degree programs, along with world-class faculty and dedicated support. Discover why ASU is ranked number one in innovation for 9 consecutive years. Tap to learn more.
Looking for ultra-cozy sleep? Every Stearns & Foster mattress is handcrafted with the finest materials for irresistible comfort every single night. During our July 4th sale, save $400 on select mattresses. Shop now at stearnsandfoster.com.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. It's John LeFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
True or false? Walmart has eye care. True. Stop by Walmart to save and browse top designer frames right where you already shop. And they accept most insurance. Welcome to Easy Eye Care. Welcome to your Walmart.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Thursday morning coffee and football. I'm Bobby Burton, joined by Jerry Hamilton of On Texas Football, sponsored by Austin Underground. Guys, we are a couple days away only from the next big recruiting visit weekend for the Longhorns. Blake Monroe is missing today. He's going to head out. He's headed down to Houston with his son for a baseball tournament already today. So we're going to miss him. But Jerry and I will be here to take your questions, talk about the Longhorns. We're also going to talk, Jerry, about the camp that's going on tonight. The Longhorns have a underclassmen camp. And then, Jerry, another thing that's going on right now is we're waiting to see what happens with head baseball coach David Pierce, coach that has gone, I looked at the numbers, 297 and 162 at the University of Texas. He's had 8 seasons in Austin, been to 3 College World Series, 2 regionals, 1 super regional. But the trajectory of the program right now probably is the most concerning thing to onlookers. David Pierce this past year opted to be his own pitching coach, and pitching was probably the weakness of the squad in Austin. And so there is some rumblings that something could be happening today. We do not know that for sure at this point, but something to look forward to. Jerry, what do you have on tap for today? We're going to talk a little bit about, I forgot to say this, going to talk a little bit about some PFF rankings. Pro Football Focus put out some rankings on the top offensive lines as well. You got anything early this morning to talk about?
No, we had a question, Justin. Any news on the we have so many questions coming in. Any news on the defensive player that could be joining the OV this weekend? Look, we know who it is. He hasn't said it yet. We hopefully he puts that out today. So we'll see on that. So that official visit number could go from 16 to 17 this weekend. A lot of people have asked on texasfootball.com about Dorian Brew. Texas still believes they're going to get an official visit from Dorian Brew. I mean, we'll see. We'll see what happens there. If he goes to Oregon this weekend, then it comes down to Texas wants a weekend visit. Maybe they have to settle for a midweek visit, but we'll see what happens there. But Texas thinks, the Texas side thinks they're getting him in. So we'll see what will happen. Living rip free. Yeah, we're going to talk about this. For those that missed Caleb Chester last night on the Longhorn live stream with Rod Babers and CJ Vogel. Sorry, I missed out on that one last night. You guys need to watch it. It went to the point of when I was by the school, when I said he is a student of the game and he is going to outperform any ranking he has. That last night was a big reason why I believed that to be the case. He literally broke down multiple plays on his huddle tape with Rod Babers. I think even Rod Babers was a little taken aback by the detail that Caleb Chester went through, boom, 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 through the plays he broke down. He's a student of the game. He is a film junkie. That guy, he understands. He has athletic instincts. He understands the position he plays as well. I think he's going to be a very, very good player for the University of Texas.
But Jerry, I thought it was a good show overall last night. Not only did we have Caleb Chester on, we also had former Longhorn B.J. Johnson, B.J., Roy, and Sloan, the three wide receivers that all came in together in the early 2000s. They're hosting a memorial golf tournament for Cole Pittman this weekend. Please make it out there if you get a chance. Look it up, Cole Pittman Memorial Golf. I think they still had a couple of foursomes available for that tournament. BJ was gracious enough to join us last night as well. Hey, Jerry, we got a bunch of stuff going on. We're going to get to your questions and talk a little bit about stuff. But first, I want to say thank you to our sponsor. Each and every Thursday's live stream, our Coffee and Football is brought to you by our friends over at Austin Underground. Austin Underground has been up and going since 2004. They have specialized in difficult underground commercial installations. The team's engineering background gives Austin Underground the ability to perform work other firms often consider just too risky. Rick Vavro and his team offer an end-to-end client experience, including seamless communication, budgeting, staffing, and top-notch trade partners. And most importantly, they produce solid quality work each and every time. That's Austin Underground and his Rick Vavro and his team over there at Austin Underground. Thank you very much.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Lunch Island. It's John LaFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then, learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
Hey, Jerry, I want to get to this real quick. We've got a bunch of time today. We're going to just take questions. But without Blake, it's kind of a mix and match for you and I, Jerry. We jump around and answer questions. One of them that people want to talk about, apparently, is the situation over in Norman. I don't know if you've seen that or not. But, man, Makari Vickers and Deion Burks both popped by the police in the last 10 days. Vickers, I'm trying to figure out exactly what happened with him. Burks was a DUI. Burks is, of the two, Burks is the one to watch for because he is, some people think he's a second, third round draft pick, Jerry, out of the slot for OU. And the slot in Seth Luttrell's offense, if you recall, is a very, very important piece of the puzzle for them. And he is a high end guy. So very interesting there OU, can't say it happens to a better program, but don't wish that on any young man at all going through that sort of thing. So
So I think the interesting thing is, what will disciplinary action? What will they face, if any? So we'll have to see on that. That's a kind of tough. It's a big spot for Brent Venables to be in. I mean, the reality is, they're not going to be dismissed from the program. Burks is not going to be dismissed from the program. Not in year three of Brent Venables with pressure, Bobby. No chance.
I talked to someone up there yesterday. Neither one of them have been dismissed from the program at this time. They were both at workouts with the team yesterday.
Yeah.
So they have not been dismissed. It sounds like it's going to be handled internally. However, you know, we all know how that works out sometimes. It just works that way. All right. We have some other things going on here that we want to talk about as well, and we'll get to those questions. Mike Gosnell has a super chat here that I want to get to. Jerry, do you foresee Texas scheduling FCS opponents in the future, or do you think they'll schedule more marquee teams like Ohio State and Michigan? I know what Chris Del Conte says here, guys. Chris Del Conte wants one marquee opponent every year that he can do a home and home with, a Texas, an Ohio State, a USC, a Notre Dame, you know, take your pick, right? He wants one of those a year so that he keeps Texas in the national eye, as well as gives him a marquee home game every other year. I mean, think about it. In 06 and 07, Ohio State and Michigan are coming to town. Those are enormous home games for Texas. And so just keep that kind of thought process in mind. But I do think the question revolves around an actual FCS opponent. That's what everybody else in the SEC does. But Del Conte, Jerry, has been adamant. He wants none of that.
No.
He'd rather go – now he'll schedule – now that Sam Houston, I think, is trying to get into Division I or Texas State or New Mexico State, somebody like that, he's happy to do that, Jerry.
Yeah.
But more than that, I don't see him doing that.
Yeah, no, I don't either. And I hope my hope is that doesn't happen. That doesn't need to happen. There are plenty of G5 opponents out there for Texas to play. And I think, look, I mean, it's just that should not be one of the home games for Texas fans. I'll say that. This move to the SEC, this is a very positive move for Texas, but for the Texas fan base. And I think muddying it up with an FCS home opponent is not the way to go. And I think Chris Del Conte knows that. I'd be very surprised if Texas ever went that route. I think one of the questions is, do you continue with the Michigan or Ohio State level non-conference game?
That's going to be hard.
That's going to be the difficult part when the conference goes to 9 games, right? That's going to be the thing moving forward for me, Bobby, is what happens when the conference schedule changes in the SEC.
Hey, Jerry, we got a lot of people checking in from a lot of places. We always ask you to say where you're checking in from, what coffee you're drinking, that sort of thing. I forgot to do that this morning because Blake Monroe's not in the captain's chair. I'm piloting the ship right now, so I forgot to ask that. However, people already did ask some of those things. One of the guys that is in every single morning is E. Kim. Morning from Rockford, Illinois. I've got to make it to Rockford, Illinois. You write it so much. I've got to get there. But Jerry, this brings up a question that we were actually going to talk about later today. No. And that is which SEC team, in your opinion, that Texas faces this season has the best starting offensive line? Tell you right now that nationally, let me give you the national offensive line list.
Yeah.
It has a SEC flavor. I'll just put it that way. Alabama is ranked number one. Georgia is ranked number two. LSU is ranked number three. Texas is ranked number four. So the top four returning offensive lines in the country, according to Pro Football Focus, not just some jokers on the street, are Texas at four, LSU at three, Georgia at two, and Alabama at one. That means it's the Georgia Bulldogs that have the best offensive line Texas is going to face most likely.
I don't even think it's close. I mean, look, they have four starters back from the team that beat FSU 63-3 in the bowl game, plus the center position, I was told, really – that's who they lost Cedric Van Pran to the NFL. They lost Amarius Mims too, but four guys that started that bowl game back. Amarius Mims was an 8-game starter in college, but a first-round pick. Hello, Cameron Williams, if you have a great year. But I think Georgia, look, they're going to have four or five guys on that offensive line that are drafted. LSU's getting a lot of love nationally. And obviously Alabama's getting some love too. And I think Tyler Booker's tremendous at guard. And I think Caden Proctor coming back, obviously that helps them. Parker Brailsford, let's see where he's at. But they have some depth issues at center at Alabama, I believe. But I think Georgia may, at the end of the year, Georgia may end up being the best offensive line in the country, people are going to say. I know LSU's getting a lot of attention for that. And, yes, I'm trying to motivate Texas right here. But I think one of those three. I think Georgia, Texas, LSU are going to be the top three OLs in the country. I think Alabama will be, you know, under consideration in that top five. Let's see how they do year one under Kalen DeBoer in that scheme. That's a scheme change. Does he have all the parts, the guys he needs to run that scheme the way he wants? Is he going to have to adjust it? But I think there's a reason that Georgia's where they are. They've recruited top two classes for how many years in a row under Kirby? I mean, there's a reason they're where they are.
It's like you said. I mean, they are in that mode, just like Alabama was 10 years ago, of just, you know, fill and replace.
Yeah.
I mean, somebody leaves and they go with them. I want to add this. Not only were the top four offensive lines returning, all SEC teams, but also Missouri was number 7 and Florida was number 10. Yeah. If you don't think that the big uglies in the SEC aren't different than any other conference, that's 6 of the top 10 rated offensive lines in the country, all in the SEC. So 6 of 10. And what's more, Jerry, Texas is going to see just 2 of them in Georgia and Florida this year. So Georgia's at 2 and Florida at 10. Also, I've got some others. Jerry, just list. This is so fun to look at. I know we don't talk about it enough, but look, good morning from the 903 up in East Texas. That's good stuff. Good morning from Wichita, Kansas, from Belton, from Krosnow, Poland. Jack Lala's checking in as well. A UT boy over in Emerald Bay, sipping on an Americana. That's good stuff there. Mike D checking in as well. Just a lot of people calling and coming in from all over the country. We appreciate you guys very, very much. Let's get to a couple more questions here, if you don't mind, Jerry. And we'll just keep on rolling here the rest of the way today as well. The question I would have, Jerry, for you, and this is something that has been striking me, especially when I did listen to the Caleb Chester interview last night. How much does that matter? So we obviously, Caleb Chester has, I don't know what his IQ is. You know, I'm not trying to make him into some genius or whatever, but he's clearly got a good idea of what he's trying to do on a football field.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? At what level is like Tony Dungy? Let's put it this way. Tony Dungy was a okay player, but a great coach, right?
Right.
So at what level does that athleticism meet intelligence? You know, either you have it athletically or you don't, but if you have it athletically, the extra piece there of being intelligent about what you're trying to do can't put you over the top. Is that kind of how you see it? Or you get what I'm asking there?
Is he athletic enough
to be an elite player, or, you know, what are your thoughts?
No, for sure. I mean, look, I think especially at a position like corner, I think the mental is underrated. I mean, yeah, if you're a freak athlete, you're a freak athlete, right? In any sport, anything you do. But I think a guy that has a great mind, has the athletic instincts overall with what he does. But, you know, Caleb Chester, and that's why, look, I immediately made him an On Texas Football 4-star after that interview I did with him 3 weeks ago. I just think this guy, he's wired the right way. And guys that are film junkies that really study their craft at a young age, those guys end up being really good players. Rankings be damned nationally. Those guys end up being really good football players. You know, you got to stay healthy like everybody else does. But, it matters big time to me. I can't tell you how impressed I was when I did that interview initially 3 weeks ago that's on Texas Football in the archives. I walked away from there. And I said, you know what? I can see why Texas really wants Caleb Chester. And I can see why A&M was still calling Caleb Chester after they had three corners committed. He just has – and I'm not saying it's the it factor, but it's the it mind factor, right? There's a difference. There's an it factor, a TJ Ford and a Vince Youngs of the world. Then there's an it factor at your position. And I think Caleb Chester has that in spades. I like that, you know, look, what did his coaches tell him a few months ago? Hey, man, time to start building that, put, as Rod says, put a little armor on. And what did he do? He's gained 12 pounds. I mean, he was 174 pounds on his Texas official visit. He was about 162, 163 a year ago at this time. So if whatever this guy has to do to maximize his talent as a player, I have zero questions he's going to do that. And I don't know if I'm answering your question exactly, but that's my thoughts on him. And again, if you haven't seen that interview with Caleb Chester with Rod Babers breaking down play to play last night, that'll be about as impressive as it gets for a high school junior going to be senior. If you haven't watched that, go watch that video from the live stream last night, the interview with Rod Babers and CJ had with Caleb Chester. It's as impressive as it gets for a cornerback at a high school level.
All right, Jerry, let's circle back to the OU situation. Jay Lee wants to talk about it a little bit. Think about how crazy it is what Mixon did. And he wasn't even kicked off the team. That's Joe Mixon who, I mean, Jerry just brutally beat a woman at a, I think it looked like a truck stop kind of diner. And he wasn't even kicked off the team. Neither of these kids, Vickers nor Burks, will miss a game. Brent Venables is too desperate. My question is that program typically too desperate? That's where it comes down, you know, to things. That's, I mean, Samaje Burrell immediately kicked off the team or within a week, right, of his situation. Obviously, Joe Mixon, a superstar, so he probably gets some benefit of the doubt, right? But, you know, look, I think that Georgia has gone through a lot of stuff right now, Jerry, with the cars and the speeding, even losing a person over it, you know, somebody dying, a couple people. I think that's getting scary now, especially as you look at these guys with these cars that they're getting from NIL.
Yes.
And so how much does that impact? I don't think it does. It hasn't, luckily for Texas at this point, not in a real way. Like, Samaje Burrell wasn't driving a, you know, NIL car or something like that. Right. So I think it's going to be something to that we watch for. But certainly I believe overall some teams and programs do have different standards than maybe Texas has. I'm not saying Texas is pristine and lily white in this process. They've had issues themselves over the years. But the point being, some programs just are a little bit more desperate in that way. All right, Zane Petty, GH and Bobby, what is the over-under for 5 stars in this class, in your realistic opinion? I've seen people, oh, they can get 5 five-stars and all this other. If you say 4.5, are you going over or under? I would definitely be going under. So I'll just put it out there.
Yeah, and it's hard to say because, you know, it 5 stars by the industry rankings. That doesn't finalize until January. I think there's a guy or two that's a 5-star right now that won't end up being. And I think there's a guy like a Lance Jackson who could end up being. So you take the sum of all of that, I guess. So here's the thing. I guess who is Texas recruiting that is a 5-star now or could be a 5-star with all this fluctuating? DeCorian Moore, Jamie French, Lance Jackson could be. Kalik Lockett, we'll see, maybe. He is by some people now. I mean, and so you kind of get down to that, and who are some of those guys? Could a linebacker be? Probably not, but not out of the question, right? So when you get down to it, I've always said, I think that when the bar is 3.5, that's a really good number. You want 3 guys. I mean, if you care about the class rankings, and look, I think Sark does. I think you want to – look, there's a level that comes to it when you're recruiting top 5 classes. There's a perception that goes with it, and then the perception becomes reality, especially if you're in a rebuild like Texas was. But I think 3 is a very good number. 3 gives you an opportunity to have a top 5-level recruiting class. And I know some people don't care about that, but you know who cared about that? Nick Saban, Kirby Smart, and Ohio State. So, I mean, you know, they wanted – the recruit at that level every single year. And, you know, I think everybody should see the reason why. National championships, college football playoffs, NFL draft picks, college football awards. I mean, there's a method to the madness. So I think three or four is probably your number, because school, you're not going to get them all. You're not as – Texas is still working to be as established as a Georgia is. I mean, there's a – look. Think about how long it took Kirby to get over the mountaintop there, and now he's the best program in college football. Lost last year doesn't change that heading into this year. They're ranked number one again. So I think 3.5 is a good number to set. I think Texas will get 3 at the end of the day. At least 3. At least 3. Could things fall their way depending on where guys get ranked at the end? Possibly.
Like, I want to know this. Brandon Brown. You know, look, how is he not ranked higher, Jerry? Like, you watch the film and you see him, and I'm not saying he should be a 5-star or whatever.
Right.
But how do you watch that film and not come away saying, oh, my God, this guy's a baller, and you end up ranking him 200-something in the country? I mean, how does that happen? Explain that to folks, because I will tell you that didn't used to happen when I was in charge of the rankings. And I'm not trying to be rude and dismiss anybody else. But if we saw a guy that played like his hair was on fire at the defensive tackle position, it didn't matter if he was 6'1" or 6'6".
Yeah.
And I think nowadays everybody's looking for that prototype, and then they'll just be wrong on the guys that are smaller. They would rather guess big and be wrong than actually stick their neck out there on a guy that's not as tall. That is my feeling right now. And
everything's followed up.
Brown's not a top 50 player in the country, much less a, you know, top 300 or whatever he's rated at right now.
Yeah, I think there's levels to it, but I think the number one thing is people want to go by the NFL combine model and try to match up a high school recruit with that and follow that.
That worked real well for Byron Murphy, 6 foot tall.
I mean
it doesn't work that way.
No, it doesn't. But then there's the other piece to it. As far as rankings go, skill guys are so good at a young age that they get ranked higher, right? And the big guys take longer to develop. But the problem nowadays in the industry, if there's a problem in the rank, and I think people, hey, I've done it, Bobby, you've done it. It's hard work.
Oh, no.
It's hard work, man. But I think the problem is the ranking process from a national 50, 100, 5 stars is so early now that you box yourself in. I think you box yourself in. You box yourself in with kids, because then they won't talk to this network anymore if they get dropped from a ranking standpoint. You box yourself in from a college fan base standpoint, right? I mean, there's a lot of things that go with it, but I think the rankings are so early. And by the way, everybody says, well, that's the media's fault for ranking them. No, it's not. The colleges are the ones that started offering these kids when they're 14. What are you going to do? Cover it or act like it doesn't exist? I mean, you can't. When kids have 20 offers when they're 15 years old, you have to cover it. I mean, if not, what are you even here for? So I think that's – it's twofold. But, look, Brandon Brown – look, I say this about all guys. You have to go maximize your talent. It doesn't matter. Look, there's some super freaks that, barring the major something off the field or major injury, they're what they are. But you have to go maximize your talent. So is Brandon Brown top 30, 50, 100 guy, however you want to rank him in the country, he is. Now, he has to go maximize it and get it done. But I can't explain that one, because there were some people that was like, oh, this guy's 5'10". 5'10". I mean, he's the guy's 6'1 and a half, 6'1 and a quarter, whatever the official measurement is. I mean, I don't know. It's like, but it came, goes back to a conversation we had last week, Bobby. If Emmitt Smith showed up at a Nike or Under Armour camp combine these days, and I've been part of them, you've been part of them, and coming out of high school, he's 5'9", 180, and ran 4'7". Where would he have been ranked? I can tell you this, there have been 35 running backs ranked ahead of him probably in the country in that class, no matter what he looked like on film or how many yards he had. And that is, I think, to your point, is the mistake. We're so follow the NFL combine oriented right now. In our industry, that it can be a bit of an issue in terms of kids like that that maybe don't fit the size requisite or maybe aren't going to test as well. Here's another one for you. Texas fans know this. Dat Winn was a hell of a football player at A&M. Great football player. If he had showed up 5'10", 215 and ran 4'7", coming out of high school, what would people have ranked him at?
Dude, I've been there.
Yep.
That's what I'm getting at. Is you have to, if you're a ranker, you have to step out on a couple of guys
yep.
that you really believe in. Maybe they don't really believe in Brandon Brown, and that would be a better answer to me than he's 6'1 and a half or 6'2. Yep. So that's my point to you. And I wonder at what point in time did that just all of a sudden go, okay, we're just going straight analytics, essentially. Is what it feels like to a large degree. I mean, that's how you end up with a Nico Iamamalea, whatever, over Arch Manning, because he throws the ball faster. I mean, it's not he's a better quarterback, right? And I think those sorts of things to me it's not giving people a true sense. One thing I also think is interesting, Jerry, a lot of recruiting folks use the NFL draft.
Yep.
As the final arbiter of whether or not they got something right. And I'm not saying that's not a good milestone to use, but what about 5 years into the NFL? Go back and look at the 2015 recruiting class or the 2006. I mean, go back a little bit further and check it out. Because guys like, I mean, I'll be honest, guys like Quandre Diggs was underrated the entire time. He was underrated by the NFL until he got in the NFL. You know what I mean? So it's one of those types of things. Hey,
by the way, this is your answer.
Paralysis by analysis.
Yep. Probably that's your answer.
Yeah. Hey, Jack Lala, thank you so much here, Jack, for the super chat. I think all future quote commitments should quote Davy Crockett. You may all go to hell and I will go to Texas. That's a famous Davy Crockett line. Thanks, Jack, for that super chat as well. Here's one from King Me. That I thought was good. Would you say, Jerry, that UT joining a conference that operates in geographic harmony, like the SEC, is a luxury for fans that travel? Would you say that's a luxury for fans that travel? I definitely think it is. I mean,
I think it is. I definitely think it is. I think that, by the way, I think the challenge for Texas fans are cheering for every SEC team, like SEC teams do, by the way, moving forward. I think that one's going to be a tougher hill to climb for Texas fans here. SEC over everything. I don't know. But I definitely think it does. I think the one thing is when there's great history, it that kind of creates some of that as well, right? I mean, there's great history of football in the SEC, and there always has been. Where's the history with the Big 12? Where was it?
Well, they were losing to every single one of them except for Tech, Baylor, and TCU in Houston, which were busy losing to Texas, and A&M in Arkansas. All the former Big 12 teams were all busy losing to Nebraska and Oklahoma historically. To your point. So that's one. As far as the geographic piece, harmony, there's no doubt. I didn't want Texas to touch the ACC. The Pac-12 was somewhat different because at least it's contiguous and you could go out and fly out to LA or San Francisco for a game or, you know, Tucson or Phoenix, right? At least you couldn't drive it, but you could fly to it. But the ACC made no sense. Yep. Whatsoever when they were talking about that. The Big Ten would have been okay if Missouri, Oklahoma, Kansas, and those teams would have followed. The SEC makes more sense because you can drive everywhere, essentially.
Yeah.
And it may be an eight-hour drive, like a lot of people drove to Tuscaloosa last year. But the thing that I'm telling you, the thing for this, joining the conference that's so good for fans traveling, letting people know like they did this week, Jerry, that they can essentially do all of that stuff for a long period of time and know 3 months out that it's going to be an afternoon game, that is priceless.
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely priceless. So I think that's huge. All right, let's go. Another question.
Yeah.
Hold on 1 second, Jerry. We need to do Omaha Steaks, Jerry. Yeah. We need to do Omaha Steaks. Then we'll get to some other stuff. We got Commitment Watch, and I'll let you step in. Jerry, tell folks about Omaha Steaks.
Yeah, Father's Day is almost here, guys. Are you struggling to find the perfect gift for a man that has everything? The solution is simple. Give him the unforgettable experience of Omaha Steaks, because a world-class dad deserves a world-class steak. The Father's Day experts at Omaha Steaks have made it easy to put a smile on the big guy's face with hand-selected gift packages starting at $99. And when you use promo code ONTEXAS, all caps, at checkout, you'll get an additional $10 off that order. With Omaha Steaks, the possibilities are endless. That's endless flavor, that's endless variety, and that's, of course, endless value. Truly, they have perfected more than steak, and your dad is guaranteed to love every last bite. Pick from a premium proteins like juicy pork chops, air-grilled chicken, and beefy burgers. Again, those were a hit with the kids. Time is running out. Don't wait until the last minute. Go to omahasteaks.com and order today with packages starting at just $99. Don't forget, when you use promo code ONTEXAS, all caps, at checkout, you'll get $10 off. Shop for unforgettable gifts that are guaranteed to make Dad's Day great. Because if there's one thing Omaha Steaks knows, it's dads want steak.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. He's John LeFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then, learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
They do, including me. I'm going to have plenty of it this weekend. Father's Day coming up on Sunday, Jerry. A lot of fathers listening in. I hope you guys have a good time planned for yourselves this weekend. Jerry, I interrupt you to make sure we got that ad read in. What were you going to talk about?
Oh, no. I'm going to go to this question now because somebody
Let me read it for you. Jerry, is Caleb Chester going to be a corner or safety at Texas? And does Chester run track? Fort Ben Marshall. This is from Damon Roberts.
Yeah, I think Chester's a corner all the way. Could he play nickel? Yeah, and not safety. I think he's a corner all the way. He's got that corner mindset. He's got that corner it kind of ability about him. I think he's a corner all the way that could play some nickel. He does run track at Fort Ben Marshall, but football's really his focus. So he's not like – he's not a guy that actually goes out and trains for track. He's going to be the guy that goes out and works – on footwork and cornerback drills on weekends instead of working at track. So Caleb Chester, I think, is a 4.5 kid, low 4.5s kid right now. That'll be a 4.5, high 4.4s guy by the time he gets out of college. But he's going to be fast enough because of his mentality and his intelligence and the way he attacks the game. I think he's going to be a really good player at Texas.
Good stuff there, Jerry. Here's some other things that are going on right now. A lot of people asking about the situation at Texas with the baseball coach, Blake Jester. DP is a hell of a recruiter, David Pierce, but doesn't hit the portal hard enough, in my opinion. It's not that he hasn't hit the portal hard enough. It's been that they've come up short in the portal on NIL situations multiple times. Texas took a unique, a somewhat unique tack in recruiting in the portal with NIL. And I'll say it this way. So Texas's priority originally with NIL in baseball was, I think it was 11.9 or 13.4 scholarships. I can't remember. But it's not enough to field a whole baseball team. So their original idea was to get everybody free school, essentially, to take all that money and just make everybody give everybody 100% scholarship. The problem with that is then you miss out on Paul Skeens.
Yeah.
Because the Air Force transfer to LSU, who's now, you know, killing pro baseball, because you spent a lot of money on guys amping them up to full scholarships as opposed to on superstars in the portal. So that may have been a miscalculation by David Pierce, in my opinion. And since that time, people said, oh, well, Texas doesn't have a robust NIL situation for baseball. And it's not as robust as some probably, but it's still fairly robust. They just allocated dollars differently that may not have the outcome that people were hoping for. That's my opinion on that. As it relates to David Pierce and what's going on with him at this point in time, we believe that Texas is going to make a move there. David Pierce, we mentioned this earlier, has finished 297 and 162 in Austin. Not a horrible winning percentage at all, but maybe not up to the standards. He's gone to the College World Series three times, one super regional, two regionals, including a regional finish this year in a disappointing season. Texas may be looking for bigger fish at this point. So I think that David Pierce has probably coached his last baseball game at the university.
And the key is, if something goes down quick, then Texas has their man. And that means he's not coaching in the College World Series. If Texas makes an announcement, but they don't have a hire in place quickly in the next 48 hours, their guy's coaching the College World Series. It's pretty cut and dry right now. If you make an announcement and then announcement of hire is made quickly, obviously, there you go. If there's not an announcement pretty quickly after a move's made, then you have your answer as well. It's one of two. It's cut and dry right now from a timing perspective and the College World Series.
All right,
LL has a question I wanted to get to. Is Javion Hilson a real possibility to four-star edge? Some people have as a five-star, four-star edge out of Cocoa High in Florida. Look, possibility, yes. He had a great visit. Obviously, y'all saw the quote his mom gave on Texas. I put that on texasfootball.com, talked about that. She actually said Texas would be her choice. She just may want her son to get out of Florida. Maybe that's why he was committed to Alabama originally before the Nick Saban retirement. Then he flipped to Florida State. The tough hurdle there for Texas is, and I think this remains the case with him and a Myron Charles in a Kevin Wynn who they're battling for, is FSU has that huge official visit weekend, June 21st through 23rd. So those kids are going to be coming off that big, big weekend at FSU, and Texas is going to have to weather that storm with some of those kids in that visit weekend. I mean, Lamont Rogers is scheduled to be there as well. There's a couple other Texas targets scheduled to be at FSU June 21st through 23rd. So is Texas a possibility for Javion Hilson? Yes. Do I think that Texas is going to be the pick for Javion Hilson? I still think they have some ground to make up on FSU. Is it out of the question? It's recruiting. Nothing's out of the question, but I think we'll see what happens with that June 21st through 23rd official visit.
Jerry, I want to come back to something that you wrote on texasfootball.com this morning. You said that Texas is going to have a lot of battles coming up, maybe more than they've had in recent history, with A&M.
Yep.
From a recruiting perspective. Got a lot of one-on-ones. Go down that list, if you don't mind. You can take away the guys that have already committed to both sides, but go down the list of guys that are kind of head-to-head right now, you think, with Texas versus Texas A&M in recruiting.
Yeah, and I'm not saying it's for sure going to come down to A&M or Texas, but I will say this. I think there's some trends happening right now that are going to lead down that path. By the way, one, Kelshon Johnson, that's going to be A&M or Texas. I don't think there's any doubt at this point. Michael Fasusi, I still think, now he's visiting Oklahoma this weekend. I still think that's likely to come down to an A&M or Texas decision. And I wrote this morning, A&M's making a huge push with Riley Pettijohn right now. He's scheduled to come in the 21st through 23rd. They're you're our guy, but everything with Riley Pettijohn. So we've been wondering, okay, who's Texas' true competition for Riley Pettijohn going to end up being? It was thought Ohio State. Early on, it was thought maybe Florida State because he has a sister going to FAMU next year. Then he didn't visit there. Ohio State, visited USC. Some people think it's Ohio State. Assuming he comes off the Texas visit and makes the A&M visit, man, I think it's trending more to Texas versus Texas A&M there. So you keep going down that list. I mean, Keyote Armstrong, tied in from Jasper, visiting A&M this weekend, scheduled to be at Texas the following weekend. I think that – I know he's visited a couple other places. I think that's coming down to an A&M or Texas decision. You know, Lamont Rogers, could that come down to A&M or Texas? It could. That's possible. He visited Missouri, really likes the OL coach there. He's got FSU on the 21st through 23rd. I think mom's huge there. But could that come down to A&M or Texas? Very possible. I mean, so you go down that list, and there's more possibilities this year. DJ Sanders, although I think he's more of a developmental D-line project prospect, I think that comes down to A&M or Texas for him. So, I mean, you get down to that list, and that list is growing highly ranked targets that are coming down quite – Kalik Lockett's another one. I mean, I know he's visited LSU. He's visited USC. He's got FSU this weekend. He's got Bama. He went to A&M in the AS Texas last weekend. But look, that one could very well come down to A&M or Texas too. We don't know. That one's probably the one that's in the balance more than the others, I think. But I see more A&M or Texas decisions coming in this class than we've had in recent cycles. And I think that's going to be the way it is moving forward in the state of Texas for both A&M and Texas. They're going to be going after more like prospects, being in the same conference, recruiting the same guys, same type of guys. I think defensively, especially Texas A&M and Texas are going to be going after a lot of the same guys. And then on the offensive line, because they're going to be recruiting the same similar players on that offensive line moving forward.
Got it. All right. Here's a super chat coming in from Braxton. Do you guys think we can have an undefeated season? I think we can. Just depends on Quinn and wide receiver relationship and D-line play in secondary. Are in the SEC. And also, Clemson coach for baseball, hook him. I'll take the Clemson coach for baseball, Tony Bakich, guy. This is a guy that led Michigan to the national championship.
That's like Chris Beard taking Texas Tech to the national championship in basketball.
Yes, it is the same thing because Michigan, even though they're state university, et cetera, they're in the Big Ten. The Big Ten doesn't go that far in baseball. Typically, they're just not that good a conference. So he's also had an immense success at Clemson as well. Would he be a great choice at Texas? I think he would. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I wonder whether or not it's him or someone else right now that Chris Del Conte and his crew are targeting. Jerry, I'll let you take the Braxton question. Do you think we can have an undefeated season? The first part of his question, do you think we can have an undefeated season? I think it just depends on Quinn and the wide receivers relationship, and then the D-line play. Are those the keys? And can Texas even emerge undefeated regardless?
I guess the question for the chat, and I actually don't know this answer. I need to get this answer. In the last 15 years, how many undefeated SEC teams have there been? I mean, how many undefeated seasons did Nick have on top of college football? I think it's very difficult to do. So my answer to that's no. Because it just doesn't, it's a very rare thing. It doesn't happen. Look, I mean, just go back to LSU in 19. They could have easily lost that Texas game, right? But I mean, if I don't know, let's not go back on that. But they could have easily lost that game, right? But how many undefeated SEC teams have there been? I mean, that's the question. So I go with no on that. I think, look, I think Texas, this is a big change for Texas moving forward. Now, I think two off weeks, there's a difference. I think having two off weeks now in college football is a huge thing for health of a team. Now, Nick Saban's teams, they didn't have that luxury, right? So maybe now you have that extra off week for health can help you. But I just think the odds are stacked against you actually going undefeated in the SEC just because it's not done a lot. And the reality is Texas is very talented, guys. And I think Texas is very good. I've said before, I think they're going to be a better team this year than they were last year. But I've also said that they could, that doesn't mean they're going to go 11-1. You got to see how it plays out. But Texas isn't where Georgia is yet, where they can just absolutely overwhelm you with talent about everywhere on the field. That's still got to keep building on defense a little bit more. I mean, Georgia could just stifle you and just beat you up physically, wear you out, and you're done. And Georgia still had tight games in those 2 years. But I don't think Texas is there yet. I think Texas is working to get there. But they don't have that type of talent on defense as far as depth goes and frontline guys yet, where they can just absolutely suffocate you and wear you out. I think that's going to be the difference. But I think, look, if Texas stays healthy, I think they're going to be – I'm on the record. I think they're going to be a better team than last year. What the record is, I can't go there yet.
Got it. All right, we are – it's the Thursday morning coffee and football edition of On Texas Football, presented by our friends over at Austin Underground. We're taking your questions right now. Please feel free. I'm Bobby Burton alongside Jerry Hamilton. If you're just now joining us, I hope you're having fun this morning and getting ready for a good Father's Day weekend. But before we go any further, I want to say thank you to our sponsors. That's Austin Underground. Since 2004, Austin Underground has specialized in difficult underground commercial installations. The team's engineering background gives Austin Underground the ability to perform work other firms often consider too risky. Rick Vavro and his team offer an end-to-end client experience, including seamless communication, budgeting, staffing, and top-notch trade partners. And most importantly, they produce solid quality work each and every time. That's Austin Underground, our friends over there, Rick Vavro and crew. All right, Jerry, let's go to you real quick. Let's go to you real quick. There's a new ruling from the NIL, UIL, UIL in Texas high school football that basically puts more teams in the playoffs for a longer period of time. So Dean Neisner wants to know, with the new UIL playoffs for football, will it specifically affect player recruiting if playoffs run later in December for both decisions? I think it will obviously affect it. The question is, do you think it will significantly affect it?
I don't. I think, look, the majority of these kids are making decisions much earlier and it's done. I think there's a big push by high school coaches, by the way, get these decisions out of the way, guys. Let's not deal with your recruiting. Let's get recruiting in the rearview mirror, then get through your senior season. And the majority of these kids are early graduates anyways, right? I think the biggest issue that could come into play for Texas high school football, and I do think it's eventual, is when kids get, just like Florida just passed that, you know, that legislation that you can start making money in NIL in the high school level. Or what incentive is there maybe at some point in time for some of these kids, I think, as far as playing the complete high school season? I think that's more of an issue. I don't think that change is going to have any bearing. I could be wrong. I haven't studied it, but I don't think that's going to have any bearing.
Okay. All right. Super chat coming in from Cliff Beckman. Morning, Bobby and Jerry. Can you talk about how important mental evaluation is for Texas and what percent of that is in there recruiting a player? Is that
question
more important than athletic ability?
I think it's a great question. Bobby, I think we agree. There's a line athletically you have to surpass. But after that, I think absolutely mentally. If you have two prospects that are the same athletically, maybe if the one guy's even inches ahead athletically, maybe he runs 4.39 versus this guy over here that runs 4.5. But this guy checks all the boxes and this guy doesn't. There's only so many of those guys you want to have on a team. If it's close, I mean, man, the mental eval. I mean, we said it before, and I hate to bring it up, but the guy did run the best program we've ever seen. Think about how many guys Nick Saban passed on that were ranked 5 stars or really good players. Think about the A&M 22 class. He passed on 4 of them, okay? And none of those 4 guys are still with A&M. So I'm not saying he was perfect either. Nobody is. You just do the best you can. But I think that's kind of the benefit of Texas getting more guys on campus, is you can make more of those in-person mental evaluations. Because, Bobby, there's a level you have to have athletically. Once you hit that level, the more correct you are on the mental eval, the guys that are going to maximize their talent, is the better your program is going to be as far as a year-in, year-out basis. No doubt about it. You're not collecting talent. You're building a team with the best talent that fits your needs and your program.
Here's my thought on this, Jerry. I'm going to go back to this as it relates to Cliff's question. He asked what percent is mental evaluation. And I think it's actually more than that. There are aspects of mental evaluation that are different from one another. I will tell you that coaches want players who can listen.
Yes.
And who are coachable. There are a lot of young people today that can't listen. That their brain doesn't allow them to listen. They have to go learn it by, you know, some people are audible learners. Some people are physical learners. Coaches want kids who are audible learners typically, because that's the best way. You don't get enough time with them on the field to actually correct them. And you don't get enough live reps, et cetera. So they need guys. The coachability part is huge, in my opinion. Okay. That's number one. Work ethic is another part of the mental evaluation, right? That's totally separate from coachability. Totally separate. I mean, how much are you willing to sacrifice, right? And how much are you willing to forego things outside of football? That's part of the mental evaluation. And then you have culture. Do you fit what we do and how we like to do things? Now, I think that part is a little nuanced, and you can have a lot of different types of people within a singular culture. I mean, that's just the way that is. But coachability, work ethic / sacrifice, that's part of the mental evaluation beyond, am I just a guy that's going to be unwilling to take no for an answer, right? That, yep. That's another whole part of the mental evaluation.
Well, Bobby, you brought up Bobby. It's
impossible to be taken over, you know?
You brought up something so important. Some kids are audio learners. Some kids are visual learners.
Yeah.
And I once had a quarterback coach said in his room, he had two of each at the quarterback position. And you have to – it's just a different conversation, but we're not going to go all the way through it. But it's so interesting that you have to be able to teach both. Okay, so from a coaching standpoint, it's important too, because if you have 85 scholarship players, there's going to be some audio, there's going to be some visual guys, right? So there's so many things that go into this. Yeah, I'll throw another crazy one out, but it's not – this one always blew my mind. The third line, read the third line. You know how much money these colleges spend on college football, recruiting, building rosters, all that? They don't really give real eye tests except on a very rare occasion. That's wild to me that a guy that he could have a vision problem and drop the ball in third and 13, you lose the game. And you didn't really have a true vision test for that kid when he first arrived on campus. That's some of the crazy things to me. Now, that may have changed in the last two or three years. I know recently it wasn't at a lot of colleges. And that's just crazy things that go on with recruiting. As big business as college football is, that every scholarship player, once they show up, isn't given a true vision test. Because what if your left tackle has an issue with his peripheral?
Well,
you're in trouble.
Hey, there's a great story about that's not necessarily mental. That's more just a physical evaluation limitation. But there's a great story that I remember when I was in college at Texas. There's a quarterback named Donovan Forbes, who was out of the Baytown area down in Houston. And he had become the starting quarterback because of whether it was injury or some underperformance from others. He had kind of taken the job. And David McWilliams has him out there. And during the game, signaling in plays. Okay, he's the quarterback, starting quarterback at the University of Texas. They're signaling in plays, and they notice that Donovan Forbes is squinting at him.
Yep.
He needed glasses.
Yep.
And there he was. There's the quarterback of your team that needs glasses. I think you should probably get him some contacts, coach. And that's what – and David McWilliams like, yeah, we learned that. And we're like, why are you squinting at us so much? He needs glasses. Things like that can come into play.
I'm not going to name the Texas receiver, although he's on some really good teams. But in high school, he double caught the ball a lot. And so people were like, this guy's hands are they're not great. And ended up, he's needed a real vision check, okay? And then that improved as time went on for him. It's just so many things that go into this that a lot of times we don't have time to talk about. People don't care about the discussions, but it's kind of really cool to talk about how much goes into this that we don't think about or talk about that goes into winning, goes into maximizing your program or your teams. And as part of recruiting, I mean, that's one of the things. It's not like you can, when you can go into high school X in Houston and you can give a kid a vision test, right? Those are some of the things you just have to really do your due diligence on. And hey, if this guy double catches the ball, maybe that corner was late reacting to that ball in the air, man, but it doesn't seem like that should be that way athletically for him. I mean, there's just so many things that go into this.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Here's a question for Ted Apari that I think is really good too, Jared. This one for Bobby and Jerry and Chad. Who do you think might be the first wide receiver to commit or first two? We don't think it's DeCorian Moore because he says he's going to last till late July, early August, but that domino could cause other dominoes to fall. So what do you think, Jerry? That's an interesting question. I hadn't really, you know, we talked about timing mattering. But yeah. What do you think here?
Well, we know Jamie French is planning on late August, August 30th. He told us that when I was out at Mandarin. He didn't have the exact date at that time, but it's now August 30th. We know that, you know, look, Reginald Samples wants DeCorian Moore done with this process. I look for, you know, late July, early August. Think back to Colin Simmons' announcement time, a big deal at Duncanville. We always said with DeCorian Moore, the way that announcement went down is not generally the last announcement of the best receiver in the country. So that one will be a big one. The timing will be before that senior season, I believe. So Kalik Lockett, we'll see on that. I think Kelshawn Johnson, it could be an early July announcement there. Tanook Hines told me early July, didn't exactly have the date. So I think we're going to see. I think Jamie French could actually be, as of right now, maybe the last one of that group to announce a decision. So we'll see. We'll see how it all plays out. And I do think those guys are kind of the top tier for me. Then you have, you know, look, but here's the other thing that, just to keep in mind. A kid like Dallas Wilson out of Tampa Tech, who Texas tried to get on campus. He had a visit scheduled, then got canceled at the last second. It would have been an unofficial. He's committed to Oregon. He's at Florida this weekend and Oregon next weekend. He has a visit scheduled to FSU in late November. So Texas, you know, there's a couple of guys out there that they'll probably keep hanging around the rim on as well. So there could be a decision, depending on what happens with these guys early, that could affect Texas class later on if they stick in there with a guy like Dallas Wilson. But right now, Jamie French is the latest scheduled visit, scheduled decision of all.
So if you're Texas, and or are you waiting? Do you think Kelshawn Johnson might be the first guy off the board? Do you think
him or Tanook Hines?
Lockett might be. I mean, who do you think might be the first guy off the board?
I think Kelshawn or Tanook Hines may well be. I think one of those two guys today. That's my bet as of today, but we'll see.
Got it. Fair enough. All right. Hey, Brandon Huey has a question here. Why are we always on the road for these non-conference matchups? Mark Ewens, Tuscaloosa, Ann Arbor, now Columbus. Well, first of all, Brandon, it was supposed to be a home and home with Alabama until Texas entered the SEC. So Texas was going to get a return. It wasn't supposed to be. It was a home and home. The year before, Texas played Alabama in Austin, okay? Ann Arbor and Ohio State, well, the one for Michigan got switched as a make-good to Fox as part of the release from the Big 12 contract. So Texas was actually supposed to host Michigan this year initially. And then this all happened. So now they go to Ann Arbor instead to get out from underneath Big 12 agreement. That is not always the case. Texas always commands, at the very least, a home and home with marquee opponents. That's just been that way for history. So it's not an always. For example, and I'll give another example that may be more fitting. Texas hosted LSU in what year was that? 2018, 2019? And Joe Burrow, they hosted them. Well, Texas was supposed to go back in 2020. But they didn't because of COVID.
Yeah.
So, Brandon, I just to explain that, I know some older guys will understand that more clearly. Hey, this one is Hook2AT. Where's Craig Way? Actually, I told y'all yesterday that I would try to get Craig on the show. And I am actually going to be doing the Saturday conversation this Saturday with Craig Way, a longtime friend of mine. I've known him literally for 30 years, back when he was running the back roads of the state of Texas, doing the Texas High School Extra. He's now the voice of the Longhorns, of course, and just an institution at the University of Texas. But I hope to, or I'm scheduled to do the Saturday conversation this week with Craig Way. All right, Jerry, here's one from Michael Schuler. Sorry if already discussed, but how similar do you see the Javion Hilson recruitment, young man, defensive end out of Cocoa, Florida, to Xavier Filsame, the defensive back that signed with Texas last year, but had been committed to Florida most of the season? Seems to be really similar to me. Do you agree with that, Jerry? What the similarities, maybe, that they were committed to Florida schools, but were there others?
Yeah, I think it's different to me because FSU's coming off what would have been a playoff season had the quarterback not got hurt. They just had 10 guys drafted. Yeah. Mike Norvell turned a corner from he was on the hot seat, and now they were ascending right by Dabo and Clemson there in the ACC. We'll see what happens this year with FSU. I think they're going to have a little bit of a drop-off due to quarterback play. But unless the young kid's really, really good later in the season, because the guy they have now is not going to be. So I see it differently. But what I will say to this question is something I was going to bring up. We talked about it in our state of the program yesterday, because this, it kind of falls in line with this question.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. He's John LaFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away!
Throw our last Crunch Berry!
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
So, for John, from John Simmons, what recruit's commitment might serve as a domino gets other commitment dominoes to fall? So you can't rush a five-star, right? So we talked about this yesterday in state of the program. Those guys, you can't leverage those kids. And if you do, you lose them. So last year, what happened? Ryan Wingo committed late. I mean, he privately committed to Texas September 17th. It took a while for that to go public. Missouri put up a huge fight there. Brandon Baker's recruitment carried on into the fall. Kobe Black, who was a Texas lean for months and months, carried on further into the fall than Texas probably thought it would or would have liked it to. Then you had some flips. Ty Anthony Smith, coaching change, coaching carousel. Xavier Filsame and Wardell Mack from Florida's struggles on the field and questions if that was going to be a coaching carousel this year caused a couple of those guys to back off. So it's a couple of interesting questions. I think Hilson's different than Filsame, obviously, because he's a Florida kid. But the similarity is, well, it's a difference. But Hilson's already proven he'll change once. He was an Alabama commitment, flipped to FSU. If his mom stays in Texas corner, I think that'll be interesting. We'll see after the June 21st through 23rd official visit. But just something to remember with Texas is you don't have the leverage on when a five-star decides. I mean, if you try to create that leverage and you lose the kid, those kids do have the leverage. But what you do is you build momentum before those guys. And so as far as the positions, when Jackson Christian committed, we said this, that could create a domino effect on the interior offensive line, that swing players. And it did with Devin and Jordan Coleman, because look, those spots are limited. When one guy goes, then those spots become limited. A&M already had three offensive line commits as well. At that time, they have four now. I think one of those won't be in the class, so realistically say they have three. But now you're getting to a point where with Texas, you got three guys committed on the offensive line, maybe four after this weekend. Then you're kind of down to a spot or two at those tackles. Could that force somebody into the class a little earlier from a decision standpoint than they want? And I'm not talking about five-star Fasusi. We'll see. The five stars can decide whenever they want because you just can't leverage those guys. And it's bad recruiting to try to leverage those guys. But this is the other thing, and I'm rambling. The other thing to remember in recruiting is last year at this time, Xavier Filsomee didn't have an offer from Texas. Aaron Butler didn't have an offer from Texas. So we look at this in June. We're excited about the official visits. Boom. All right, what's this class going to look like? Where are we going to be ranked here at the end of July? But remember this, Texas had three decisions they had to wait on there in Wingo, Brandon Baker, and Kobe Black, three of the highest ranked guys in the class. But then they also stayed on guys. Remember this, Sark's going to stay on guys. Even if there's guys committed to USC or committed elsewhere, they stayed on Ty Anthony Smith. They stayed on Wardell Mack if they committed elsewhere. They generally are going to stay on their guys while continuing to evaluate. And you had two offers that came up last year, and I happened to be at the Cotton Bowl that day when Xavier Filsomee was there, and I was like, well, that's interesting, and then he got offered, and then things kind of went from there. So just know the class now, what we're looking at is not the way we're going to be looking at it in October, because Texas will keep evaluating. There's going to be a coaching carousel. I think it's going to be fascinating to see how it plays out with this class. I expect another top five class. You're muted, Bobby.
Michael Shuler had a follow-on that I want to add. I think it meant more of a recruit that's committed that we got in on the recruitment late and did a lot of work in a shorter amount of time. I think this was even – I think they've probably been on Hilson longer than they were on Filsomee based on the time amount of time that you said they were that Filsomee got his offer.
So,
a little bit different.
Yeah. But I see if that's Michael Shuler's point, I think that's better to what he was talking about for sure. Because look, the reality is Texas went by Coco in May. They were there to see Brandon Brown. They were moving around the Orlando Space Coast area, looking at some kids, went over to Coco to see Hilson, because Hilson, I think, had expressed some interest in Texas early in the process. And then Texas goes to see him in May. And says, yeah, I mean, this is the type of guy we want to bring in. He had never been to Austin. We want to bring him in and see if we can get in the mix here at Edge, especially knowing, I think that the feeling there was, all right, maybe Hayden Lowe, USC's got a little something going on defensively on the West Coast here. So the Hayden Lowe situation is a little more iffy. So I think that Texas, that's why you take shots on goal, and that's why you continue to evaluate. But I think there's some similarities there in how fast that happened.
All right, guys, it's been a good time here. I got a couple of things we want to wrap up with. David Pierce, the Texas baseball coach in peril at this point, I think is the best way to say it. Chris Del Conte has not come out and made a public statement on his future, and I think that speaks volumes, actually, despite the quiet aspect of Chris Del Conte in this category. That could happen as soon as today is what I'm hearing. We will see if that follows through and does happen. Jerry, there's also a camp going on in Austin tonight. And you've already put – I want you to go ahead and tell folks this. You've put somebody on offer watch that you think might be in line for that post this camp. Who is that real quick, just briefly, so people can get that name?
Yeah, there'll be some 26s and 27s camping at Texas tonight. It's more of an under-the-lights camp, starts in the evening. But Zayden Krempen – offensive 2026 offensive tackle from Prosper High. I have on offer watch. It really came on as a sophomore this year on a Prosper High offensive line that's loaded. Four D1 guys, four power four or five guys, I guess it's power four now, starters on that offensive line. One committed to A&M, one last year obviously signed with Texas Tech. So that's a loaded offensive line, really good looking group. But Zayden Krempen, is a left tackle for that group as a sophomore. He's one I have on offer watch tonight for Texas. I think he's one of the top five offensive linemen in the state in 26. And look, Texas threw out a couple offers at the June 1 elite camp. Nicholas Robertson, the guard out of Klein, and then the guard Noah Best out of Midlothian. I think you could see another one tonight.
Got it. Okay, that's good. Another offensive lineman on offer watch for the class of 2026. Also, obviously, Jerry, big recruiting weekend coming up in the Longhorns. 14 guys scheduled as of now. There's actually 15 guys scheduled.
Right.
One has not announced yet, so we're not going to announce that until he puts his own news out, but we can't say it's a defensive player that Texas has offered. So beyond that, that'll about do it. If you want up-to-the-minute updates on whether it's David Pierce news or recruiting information, Jerry, you and CJ putting stuff out almost hourly these days as it relates to recruiting, visit us at ontexasfootball.com. Right now we have a special. If you are an OTF OG, that means if you're an OG, you get $20 off your annual subscription. All you have to do is use promo code OTF OG, and you get an annual subscription for $39.95. Before we let people go this morning, Jerry, you have anything you want to add, bud?
No, I think, we're 24 hours away from a huge visit weekend in Austin. DeCorian Moore, you know, Kelstron Johnson, Riley Pettijohn. I mean, Kevin Wynn, his first trip to Austin, guys, one of the top four D-line targets for Texas in the class from Greensboro, kind of like Javion Hilson, except Hilson was committed somewhere. He's never been on campus at Texas. How's that going to go with Kevin Wynn? Brandon Brown, huge visit weekend for Texas with Brandon Brown. And you just, you know, you go up and down the list. It's a big-time visit weekend for the Horns. Smith Orogbo, the edge out of Hastings, who had a great trip to Texas Tech. Still has, he told me yesterday, still have my visits playing the Texas and Oklahoma, right? We'll see after Texas this weekend if he does something that makes the trip to Oklahoma. I think his family's bigger on staying closer to home if that works out for him. So we'll see there on Smith Orogbo. Offensive line, I mean, it's a big group. Nick Brooks. I'm telling you, Texas is in this thing against Georgia. I'm not saying he doesn't go to Georgia, but it was a foregone conclusion a couple, 3 months ago. Now it's a battle. He ain't going to Oregon. I don't think he's going to USC. I mean, Oregon, Iowa, his home state where he's once committed. I think it's Georgia or Texas, barring a big change for Nick Brooks there. And then you have John Mills, who's been a Texas lean for a long time. We have as a four-star right tackle slash guard prospect. Washington's had four family members play there. I think that's the competition. He's coming off a Florida visit. If he remains kind of locked into wanting to play college football and be a college student in the South, then I think Texas wins that recruitment. We'll see if anything's changed there. And then Lamont Rogers is coming in. I think his mom's big in this decision with him. She really liked the Texas from the academic side, their April visit. So we'll see what happens there. He was at A&M last weekend. So it's a huge visit weekend. CJ, and I'll have you covered. These guys start getting into Austin tomorrow, early afternoon for the official visit weekend. And we'll have it all covered for you on here and on texasfootball.com.
All right. Good stuff, Jerry. I appreciate you. Blake Monroe was taking his son to a baseball tournament this morning and could not visit with us and be with us. So he'll be back in the saddle corralling me and Jerry tomorrow. Making this a little bit easier on Jerry and I to wade through the morass that can be this stuff. We appreciate everyone joining us. We enjoy all the super chats. Appreciate it. The chat is on fire as usual here. We also want to say thanks to Austin Underground, our sponsor, Rick Vavro, always doing us right, as well as Omaha Steaks. Don't forget about your dad on this coming Father's Day as well. All right, for Jerry Hamilton, I'm Bobby Burton. That's going to do it for this morning's Coffee and Football. Everybody have a good one. Hook 'em.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. It's John LaFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. set up chores, and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.